I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Mads.
My name is Scout, and this is wild. We are batching recording. I've heard you say that one too many times today.
Oh, baby.
We're just getting started, but we're getting kicked. We're getting kicked out of this studio real fast.
Oh my God. Hi, Scout. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm going home tonight. I've been in LA all week.
Wait, you're going home tonight?
Yeah, I'm going home tonight.
Wait, mm-hmm. I thought we were going to have Shabbat tomorrow.
You know, it's time for me to go home.
I have miss you.
Had multiple dinners with you.
Yeah, we had too many dinners.
I can't sleep at mom's house.
Oh, yes.
I literally have not been able to sleep for 5 days.
Oh, we love that for you.
It's not a good look.
An exhausted Scout.
I can't.
Underslept Scout.
Well, because I'm afraid because she puts me in the guest room on the ground floor.
No, we don't need to.
Okay. Well, I was going to give the appropriate version, which is that I don't like being on the ground floor because I'm afraid that someone's going to walk by and hit the window and do something. So, and then LA's a lot more loud than San Diego, and so I hear the cars and I get really unsettled.
There are cars here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've heard them in the middle of the night. So anyways, it has been a lovely trip.
Okay.
This is my second post-quarantine-ish trip up to Los Angeles.
Sure.
We met Cleo from Podcast Nation, our network.
Delightful.
We had a wonderful dinner.
Santa Monica Proper Hotel.
We met Gigi, who's our intern, who we've never met.
We never met in person, and she is just the cutest gem little button ever.
Yeah. Jesus, she's so beautiful.
I know, we looked at her and we're like,
God, she came looking that hot. Jesus.
Yeah, we're like, fuck.
We're like, fuck, it's hot. We're going to eat a lot.
What did we look like? I'll give you a quick Grey's Anatomy update.
Because that's what we've been waiting for.
I know you guys have been way on the edge of your seat for the Grey's Anatomy. I am on season 11 of Grey's Anatomy. Spoiler alert. Turn it on pause if you don't want to know.
Many people are pausing. Many people. It's going to say people talked it down.
Derek dies this season.
Damn it, Derek.
And I am unprepared. A lot of people have been DMing me saying, just stop now. Like, save yourself the heartbreak. But of course, I'm a masochist, so I'm going to keep watching.
Think just the fact that you watch this much is masochistic.
You know that I'm halfway through. They have 18 seasons. I'm halfway.
I just will not take... I don't understand why your sister comes to you and says, please watch Marvel Universe. And you're like, it's too overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
To say something like that is just incorrect. Factually incorrect.
Okay. Anyways. So it's coming. It's coming. And so if you don't see me next week and I'm depressed, that's why.
Okay. Someone do a wellness check.
We're going to need a wellness check.
Someone order her John and Vinny's delivery.
Oh, that's really nice.
I'm not doing that for you.
I want Sugarfish, actually.
Not doing that either.
Okay. All right. Shall we get into this episode?
This episode is so exciting.
Oh, this is a great one. Ladies and gents, a.k.a. one gent.
Three
gents that listen to this.
Ben, Adam, and Gee.
Gee.
Our three men.
Our three.
Okay, talk about the episode.
Okay. Oh, you want me to...
Because I might get canceled on this one.
What?
Because I said that Nickelodeon is stupid. Literally, quote.
Oh, okay. Wait.
I said that.
Nickelodeon is stupid.
Okay, thank you. I looked at Puno and I was like, but like, isn't like Nickelodeon stupid? She was really gracious with me.
Yeah, she was she was so patient with us. Fucking hot takes over here. No, we were Disney Channel people. We explain it in the episode. Anyways, so today we have Puno, who is the founder of I Love Creatives and the recent new podcast host of Girl Boss Radio. She took over for Sophia Maruso, completely has revamped the whole brand and podcast, really inserting new voices, new women to speak to. And she is just so, she's a hoot.
There is nobody else like Puno on the internet.
Nobody. She is just a delight. I think she's my expander.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
She is awesome. Able to integrate the silliness and the professionality. Nope. Professionalism.
She's the cool girl.
Oh.
Yeah. Ultimate. So we were really, really excited to interview. Yep. We know you sisters are going to love this episode. So take a listen. And if this resonates and you know a Puno fan out there, text it to a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Text it to a new sister. Text it to a future sister.
There's so many potential sisters. Okay.
The potential's untapped. So much going on here.
There's so many futures.
So many future women in the world. Okay, sisters, we love you. Enjoy this episode. Puno, are you in your home or is this an office? What's the deal here?
Yeah. This is my home. I work from home. I'm in downtown LA.
You've always worked from home, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I like ever since I quit my job, 2014 or 2013. But my husband, he usually sits next to me, but because I've just been podcasting so much, and I'm like, anytime he types on his keyboard, I'm like,
cut it out.
I hear it.
We need audio excellence here. Yes, you are a new podcaster. This is Mazel Tov. Welcome to the space.
What a fucking way to enter. Host Girl Boss real quick.
Okay, before we get into all that, though, we have to do current fixations because we have to, remember the structure of the show. Scout, why don't you start?
How much caffeine have you had today, Mads? Let's just get this over real quick. How much caffeine have you had?
I feel really attacked by you. Like, what? This is the energy I always bring. I don't understand what is changing for you. I tried to switch locations and it fucked it all up. I'm sorry. And I'm trying to get us back on course.
Maybe it's because it's raining in San Diego and I'm in a sweater.
That must be it.
Changing the balance.
You're cold.
Changing the balance.
I'm cold. You're right. Puno, I am cold. I was wearing a tank top dress and I put a sweater on right before this because I was
not
cold.
Doing it. Your toes are still cold.
My toes, Puno, my toes are still cold.
I can tell.
Scout, you are also a weirdo where you wear sandals in the rain, like in the dead winter. You are a toe open person.
Because
me too.
Okay, my toes feel really restricted.
I think it's because I'm from Texas.
Oh,
and I'm Filipino, so there's like all sorts of things that are rooting for the sandals in the winter.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just a Southern California thing. Okay, I will go with the structure of the episode and do my current fixation. My current fixation is the song I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. I mean, if you need to feel joy, depth, you need to feel your personal power, just belt it out. Just belt out. And I'm not going to do it. I'm really not going to do it. But
Let's not.
It is such a good fucking song. Like, and the way she starts like really quiet. And then before she belts it, there's like 5 seconds of pause where you wonder if maybe your phone broke, but it didn't. She was just really, really setting the scene.
Yes.
And then she just goes at it. I mean, that song, and it's a sad song because she's actually leaving somebody and telling that person that she will always love them. However, when you sing it with your significant other, you forget about that. And it just becomes this manifesto of I will always love you to your significant other. So I was getting Chinese food with my husband 2 nights ago and we put this song on before we went to pick it up. And we just belted it out. It was a, it's just a good, oh God, like it's not even a karaoke situation. It's just a soulful moment.
Yes. And that you guys sang it together. That's so sweet.
They're like dorks like that. They'll do that type of stuff.
Who doesn't want to do that type
goals.
Of stuff?
Yeah. Goals. Relationship goals, I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Whitney Houston. And then, you know, like, I want to dance with somebody. It's just, God, she's good. She's so good. She's soulful and she pumps the energy up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I like to, like, you know, sometimes I want to dance with somebody, but she just says it in a different way. I'm like at the roller rink when I'm 11. I'm like, I think I want to dance with somebody. But she's like, I want to dance with somebody.
Yeah. That's, you know, it, this is the intention for the week to embody Whitney Houston vibes.
Yeah. What do you want?
I want to dance with somebody.
Matcha latte?
Well, you go up to the,
speak
you go up
your
to the
desires.
Barista.
Yeah. We have to express our wants. We have to be communicative and say it with gumption.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots of gumption and sass. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mads, what's your current fixation?
Okay, I love a song moment. That was good. I haven't heard a song recommendation on OK Sis in a while. I'm going to go with the book recommendation. I've been saying it all over the interweb, but I have been reading How to Build a Goddamn Empire by Ali Kriegsman, who is the founder of Bulletin.
Oh, yeah.
Great book. You know, I haven't, as many of the sisters know, I've been on a romance novel slash fiction kick, if you will. So I haven't read a nonfiction book or even a businessy book in a really long time. And I used to read so many right after college, and it's been a dry spell. So it's the perfect introduction to more of a business minded book, because she is so colloquial, so silly. It feels like my type of energy, especially as I'm growing a business as well. I'm developing a travel recommendations app, and the struggles she went through and overcoming them and the perseverance, she is so real. She's not sugarcoating anything about business, which I think is really refreshing and really needed. She's really like, yo, you need to be so strong to do this. And she empowers you, but she also level sets with you. And I appreciate it a lot. So I have been loving the book. And she also incorporates a lot of other female founders stories in it. A lot of, you know, people that have actually been on OK Sis, like the Dame founder and Trinity from Gold. So it's been just so exciting to see that network and just more female voices being heard in business.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love actually so much, not only just about her book, which is beautiful and it's like gives you coffee table book vibes along with a reading vibe, is that I've been watching kind of what she's been doing for herself as a personal brand. So I think that she was a founder of a company where she wasn't public facing. She didn't have her own voice on social media, etc. And with this book, she's really decided to create that for herself. And I've seen her Instagram following increase. I've seen the strategy behind this book launch. I've seen the team that she's hired to do this. And it's really cool. It's really like she's coming into and stepping up to saying, here I am. This is what I've been doing for the last X amount of years. And here's where I want to impart my knowledge. So I think she's fucking killing the game.
Yes. So, okay. We got music. We have a book. I just watched. Oh my gosh! It's the Nickelodeon documentary on the Orange Nickelodeon. Hold on, let me just look it up real quick.
We're gonna disappoint you because we have literally never watched a Nickelodeon show in our lives because our mom wouldn't let us growing up.
Oh, okay, but wait, but let me give you some context. The reason, it wasn't because she was conservative. It was because there were so many ads and we were such annoying kids that we would just ask her for all of the products.
So Disney didn't have ads, so we were only allowed to watch Disney. But she also kind of realized that some of the Nickelodeon shows were kind of stupid. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know, they weren't that, you know?
Which ones?
Just like the general vibe of Nickelodeon shows, I feel like it's just kind of like No, is that only my unpopular opinion that people
that's
are
only
come
your
after
thing
me?
Because you didn't grow up with it. I loved Arnold. Hey Arnold. I loved Hey Arnold. The one I think that was kind of stupid was the cat dog. That was weird. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was weird.
Cat dog. See, okay, so I'm Nickelodeon like when it started. So 90s. I'm 90s Nickelodeon. That's what this documentary is about. It's called The Orange Years. But so, okay, it was Doug, Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy, what else? Double Dare, Clarissa Explains It All. Like, that was that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, we were in the wrong era then.
No, oh, Doug shit.
Was,
okay.
Doug, people were watching when I was Rugrats. That was my years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the reason why I was like so into it is because the like top three executives, the people who kind of, you know, made Nickelodeon what it is, were all women.
That's
oh wow,
very unfortunately surprising.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that either. And I was like, oh, snap. And it's just really interesting how it came about, why they even decided to do that network, and then the like creative choices, the deliberate creative choices of making like ugly ass Rugrat babies, and like what they fought for. So I think that anyways, I would just watch it even if you weren't a Nickelodeon 90s fan, just seeing how you have to fight for something that you don't really even know will work out.
The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills, and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. No, it's fascinating. I definitely want to watch it. I think, I mean, we watched like Rugrats Hanukkah. That was a
no,
that
it was Rugrats
thing.
Passover.
Rugrats Passover. That's what it was, because the grandparents were Jewish. One of the side of the grandparents.
Yes.
No, but that is so true. It's such a like cartoons and the way that Nickelodeon presented itself and the type of content it created, like it was very weird. It was very off the beaten path. So it's incredible to hear that it was women like leading that kind of force, and that they were trying to break barriers to what even cartooning could look like.
Yeah. And just being real and just being like, no, that's boring. Like, we don't want to do that, because that's like basic and boring. And I already did that before. And then they're just like, let's just do something that's off the wall.
Did they talk about why their names haven't been highlighted at all?
I don't know.
Because I feel like that's something that, you know about I mean, not just in the entertainment industry, like, you know, of George Lucas, you know, of Steven Spielberg, like, you know, the people behind certain franchises, you know, who's behind Disney, but like, no, I didn't even know who was behind Nickelodeon. I, you know, wrongfully assumed it was a man, but why weren't their names like in, you know, on the marquee?
It might be the same reason why, you know, Allie is self-branding herself. It's like, you kind of have to like want it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think also at that time, the women probably felt that it would be a disservice to the marketing of it, which is shitty, but maybe they thought if we are the faces of it, then it won't have as big of a reach, especially in the 90s, which is very sad. And I'm hoping that moving forward, people are more empowered to say, hey, I am a woman creating like silly, funny content. And that's not, you know, that doesn't mean it's like girly content. It's universal.
I mean, maybe, because I don't even think back then it was a conscious choice to become a personal brand. I think the media made you a personal brand. Like, I don't think people who created Star Wars and Star Trek, like all that, decided to be like, hey, I'm going to come forth and be this personal brand. I think it was who the media decided was a personal brand. We're going to look at
this. Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. I just know that she ended up moving on from Nickelodeon to Disney, the executive producer. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? It might have been something where it might have been a combination of all things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I think if she were to make Nickelodeon today, it would be totally different.
Yeah. That is so interesting. I'm going to watch that documentary.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Great current fixation, Puno. Thank you. All right. Let's get into everything about you, because so Scout chatted with you a little bit on her Clubhouse room, which I was, you know, geeking out over and girl crushing over you on it. But I have felt this very great kinship towards you, and I'll explain to you why. I discovered I Love Creatives on the Instagram, you know, because you guys are everywhere and it's great.
Yeah.
And it's the brand lends itself very well to the Instagram. And I was just inspired by your courses, right? Like, I never thought I would want to or need to take a Squarespace course or an Adobe Premiere Pro course, but I did because it was you guys. And it's kind of an annoying term, but like, edutainment is kind of this new space, and I feel as though you've really captivated it. And the reason that I felt so compelled to you is because you're very silly, you're very authentic to yourself, and you're able to blend knowledge and skill set and hard skills with levity and having fun. Like, why do the two things need to be mutually exclusive? And I feel with the courses and with what I Love Creatives has built, it makes you want to learn. Like, it made me excited again to be a student. So I kind of want to ask you, was that always the intention? And did you kind of see a white space where you're like, oh, all these courses are so dull and they're just not fun, and I want to create something a little more humor? Or was it just like, this is all I know? Like, this is the only way I could do this?
Great question. Both, 100%. I mean, it started off with a lot of the things that I do. It always starts off with disdain or like annoyance, or I don't want to do this because I don't want to be associated with this thing. Like, in that specifically was, I mean, I had been asked to do a workshop from a friend of mine, and I was like a little hesitant because I was like, I don't know. I just learned this thing like last week, you know? And then, so it went from that to General Assembly asking me to teach, and then me being like, ah, shit though. Like, is this going to be my new thing? Am I going to do this now? Cause this is like the second time. And then it turned into, okay, if I can, you know, I know there's a demand for it. Like, people in Los Angeles want it. I'm sure other people from other cities want it. So I need to go online. And then I like dove into the world of online education at that point, saw like how everything was set up. And I think at that point I was like very hesitant because I was just like, ah, woof. I don't know if I want to do all that. Like I can't, I just don't know. And then, so I just put a pin on that for a minute. And it really wasn't until I saw an ad, or no, put an ad out on Isle of Creatives for a junior Squarespace designer to help me freelance. And you know, that's when I saw like, oh my gosh, so many people interviewed or want to, or applied to this, like 100 people applied to this and they're not going to get it. Like there's, you know, like there was like a definite skill gap there. And that's when I was just like, okay, I need to like figure this out, because I think that there, yes, the internet is abundant and you can learn from anywhere. You can YouTube how to make a Squarespace website, very aware of that. But like, they're not going to know exactly what I need. And I can be very specific about what I need. You know, like I can be like, nope, we need this and this and this. And so that's when I just was like, I need to do this. And that was when I was like, the only way I'm going to do this is if it's 100% me. Like at this time too, I wasn't really front facing with I Love Creatives. I was always like in the background. I was always hesitant to like put my face on our brand. Because I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it was just like self-conscious and didn't. And if it like failed, I wanted to be somewhat separated from it. But I've gone through two businesses already that kind of, I wouldn't say failed, but are over. And it's fine. Everything's fine. And it doesn't matter. So that's when I was just like, I don't really care anymore. And also I turned 30 and I was like, I really don't give a fuck anymore about what people think. And so, and I think what you're telling me, which thank you so much for like seeing that, is I would love to have a place and an environment and a world where I get to be myself, like, and like be able to truly explore that and really push myself, because I still think I'm holding back. I still think that I'm not 100% doing it purely for me. There's always some other thing that I'm thinking about. Like, yeah. So I'm always just trying to figure out like, where can I make myself be myself? You know?
You touched upon so many things. And so I have two questions. One, just like a rapid fire question. Did you see an increase in your business when you did put yourself as the forward facing? Okay, so yes. Two, for women who are thinking about starting their own thing, because I think what is so unique and so beautiful, yet it comes with a blessing and a curse, is that today in business, people want to know who's behind the business. They want that face. So what's happening to entrepreneurs is that not only are they being asked to be an entrepreneur, they're being asked to be a public figure. And oftentimes that means content creation online, on Instagram, doing podcast interviews, being very forward facing. And so I think that like in my business right now, I'm coming to the point of, hey, I can't be 100% the entrepreneur because now I'm being that forward facing person. And so I think it's a curse for those who don't want to be the forward facing person, but it's a blessing because now business is becoming so much more personal in that people do business with people who are their authentic selves. They want I Love Creatives because when Puno gets on the screen, you know that it's Puno, and we love Puno, right? Like we love the way you use color. We love how quirky you are. We love the graphics you use, etc. Can you talk about your feeling or your perspective on how entrepreneurship has become a public-facing thing and whether or not you think that's a good or bad thing?
I mean, I think that for myself, I had to get confidence. Like I needed to figure out who I was. And I remember when I first started getting into this whole business thing. And like, that was the number one question that kept me up at night, was like, should I have a business Instagram account or should I have a personal one or should I have both together? And I honestly left, I lost sleep on that question, because really I think what I was saying was, I know that I have the potential for it. I think I'm just scared and I don't know exactly how to do it. So in a way, I'm really glad that I decided to keep it separate and I, you know, got to really just be myself on my personal Instagram and experiment, because a lot of the things I did and I experimented on my own ended up being a part of Isle of Creatives for sure. The pressures, the societal pressures of like being more front facing, is leverage. And if you don't want to use it, you do not have to, but you just have to know, like, you've got to do it some other way. You've got to like, there's still brands that exist that we don't know who the founders are, you know, like, it's not like it's an end all, it is just leverage. And it's something that, you do still have to be open to exploring and open to like being in the public and talking and going on podcasts. And I think some people who do it and do it really well are going to benefit dramatically from it, because like, humans are so dynamic and we have so many different, you know, things, but at the same time, it could completely bring your company down because like one person did this one thing. And so therefore like da da da. So it's tricky, but if you have it and if you want it, you should do it. If you don't, then don't.
I just want to point out, because I want to like extract this from what you just said, because what you said is so amazing that I don't want to overskip this, is one, that I think a lot of women listening to this know exactly who you are. And I've seen a very, very strong level of confidence, authenticity, and uniqueness come through the screen. One, that you had problems with that you weren't in the beginning comfortable enough or confident enough to really go after that in the beginning, is such a huge sigh of relief for so many of us who are just trying to figure that part out of our game. And two, that you had businesses that I'm not going to say failed, but ended and your life continued. I think it's really easy to see you and say, I love creatives and girl boss and unique authenticity coming to the forefront, when really everything you're telling us was that there was a lot of behind the scenes and before work that happened to create the person that you are today. And there's a lot of behind the scenes that is happening to create the person that you're going to be in 5 years. And so I just want to thank you for, one, saying that you have businesses that you no longer have, because I want us to really sit with that for a second, that that's really a lot of the times, the reality of entrepreneurship, that the first few things you start sometimes aren't the things that you end up doing in the long haul. So I just wanted to point that out as like really great value points, because I think that that really can help a lot of people who are in the beginning phases right now.
I mean failure and like businesses, you know, you're moving on from businesses, it's all PR at the end of the day, and it's really just about, how are you sitting with it? Like, are you really comfortable with that, or is there something about your ego that is so wrapped up in it that you are going to do others, you're going to hide it. You're going to act like it's not hurting you as much. Like that's crazy, you know, to have to think like that. So I don't know. I would say that before anybody ever starts a business, you have to know that that is 100% a possibility and that you have to already be okay with it.
It's something I'm definitely learning. I know Scout feels very, very comfortable with. I mean, we don't want to call it failure, but just maybe, you know, things not working out or coming to fruition. I don't know. But for instance, I just started a YouTube channel, which you were actually a big inspiration for me. I loved your weekly vlogs. And I just thought, again, there's this intersection of being a founder and a intellectual human being, but then there's silliness. You know, I've said this on the podcast before, I have very two polarizing like personalities. I'm like this business oriented, very pragmatic side, and then I'm like fucking crazy on the other end. And I've never seen in business until you that it could blend, and that it could blend in order to elevate your business and make it more successful. So in terms of the YouTube channel, that's kind of where I wanted it all to connect. And I said to Scout, I said, look, I if it becomes too much for me, I'm going to stop. Like, it's not my priority, but it's something fun I do. I learned Adobe Premiere Pro from you. So it's like, I got a great skill. Even it's like, there's no downside. Like, I can stop if I want, whatever. It gives some entertainment. It's fun for me. And now I have this amazing skill that I can bring to a future job or position in my life. So reorienting that into even if something stops, like, what did you learn from it? And what can you take from it into that next venture?
Which is so huge for Mads. Like, it's so fucking huge. When she texted me that, I almost cried because I was so proud. Because when we started this podcast, it was hard for Mads to put herself out there and like thinking, overthinking it. And what are people going to think? Blah, 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 blah. So the fact that Mads, you got to a point where you put something out and you were okay with it not being this whatever you want it to be, whatever, whatever, is such a testament. And I think is a byproduct of strengthening that muscle of putting yourself out there. My family, and if you look at the trajectory of my career, one could look at it, which many do, and say that I started and stopped a bunch of things. I look at it and I'm like, whoa, that thing led me to that thing, led me to that thing, which prepared me for that, which prepared me for that. Like, it's just this tumbleweed situation, you know, which I think is such a more beautiful way of looking at it than like this failure, stop, start. So anyways, Mads, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, me too. That's great. I think that, I mean, the more that you are, I guess, like you said, putting yourself out there, it's just so interesting. Even with this girl boss thing for myself, I think that, like, I knew that it was separated from Isle of Creatives, and I knew that it was more about me being talent, if you will. Like, it's a different trajectory in a way. And I've always kind of wanted it. And I just didn't know how. Like, last year, oh shit, no, two years ago, I was like, last year, I took like an acting class and I took a stand-up class. And I was trying to figure out that side of me. Like, I used to, when I was young, I was in acting, I was in theater, and then I got in trouble. And so my mom like was like, you can't do acting anymore. And so I like, it cut off from my life, like right then and there. And so I was like, oh shit. Okay. And I, you know, I always like tried to seep back into it with like debate and public speaking when I was high school. But it just never really, I never really took it super far. But that's something that I'm like, whoa, that's an extreme, you know, version of personal branding of like, you know, it, that is now moving into, this is going solo in a way, you know?
No, I totally get what you mean. I mean, I grew up doing theater and I also quit it right before college. And so with the podcast, I think that is like an evolution or a different, it manifested itself in a different way for me. Cause I'm obviously very theatrical. So it brings me a space where I can, you know, be the star or like talk. And it's, yeah, it's very interesting uncovering those sides of yourself, especially when it's something that we were so ingrained in childhood and then you stop it. And it's like, how, because that part doesn't just go away from you, but it can look different. And I think with so many of these platforms, people are shining in different ways and it's coming up in a lot of creative and amazing ways.
It's also cool how one medium, like Mads and I do the same thing, right? We co-host a podcast together. This satiates and really, really fulfills a part of Mads that is that entertainer. For me, I always wanted to be a journalist and a writer, and my favorite type of articles to write were profiles. I always liked interviewing and talking to people. So it's amazing how two totally separate needs, inspirations, curiosities can actually look, one, totally different than what you thought it would, and two, can come together in totally different angles.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
can you talk about your experience with Girl Boss? Because like what, because obviously, as you were saying, you had this performative entertainment kind of star thing, and then maybe this is a way that you can tap into that. But what was the process like for you when they approached you? What went through your mind?
Well, I think Sofia Amoroso just like slid into Puno's text and was like, yo, you want to do Girl Boss?
Okay,
like,
well, I didn't know that. I want to hear the story.
No, I'm just saying it's very casual and very cool that she has Sofia Amoroso's phone number. Is that all I'm saying?
that is pretty. That's a goal.
I mean, well, it's also because I think the only reason why she knew about me was because I did an Instagram course one time, and then she saw that and then was like, hey, can you teach this thing for Girl Boss and Google? And that was like years ago. And so I've just done things, putting my face out there, and that turned into that. I think that, you know, and also I did a podcast too, and I don't know if she saw that or anything, but there's just like, I'm always like kind of experimenting and putting things out there. So I 100% know that was, you can't see it if you don't have examples. So it's not like she was just like, you know what? Puno, this person I text once in a while. Like, definitely not that. But, and then I also think it's the times. You know, it's definitely a diversity play for sure. And I know that, and then it helps that I had I Love Creatives. That's a natural fit too. Helps that I'm a teacher, that I like educate, and that I showed that I can make ads funny. So I think all of those things happen. When Scott was asking about like what was the process, it was like I held off on signing my contract for a really long time because I was so unsure if I should do this at Girl Boss. But the difference the big difference was I knew that Girl Boss had a ton of reach and with a very specific audience. And I just wanted someone else to hear like a voice like mine, meaning I'm not that successful compared to like what people consider success. I wanted to really redefine that and make people feel okay about that. I'm like from Texas, like I'm Asian American. I'm not like typical Asian person either. I think there's a lot of minorities that are like, we have like this weird dilemma about like working hard, and because a lot of our parents are immigrants and they're always like telling us that. So we know that's why we are so successful, because our parents work so hard. So I kind of wanted to squash that like and talk about that more. There's just like a lot of like perspectives that I felt like were missing, and not just like me personally, but also other people that I don't even talk to. Like I really wanted a trans woman to be on the podcast. I really wanted to have more Hispanics on the podcast. There's just like voices that I was like, let me just, if I have this opportunity, let me just like crack open the door and just like, let's see what happens because of that. So that was like the main driving point of wanting to get on it. That kind of trumped all of the other, whoops, that was such a bad choice of words.
I know. Whenever husband, I say that word now, I'm like, I roll.
My husband did that last night, and he meant it in the best way, and I was kind of like, you know, like I
said, yeah.
It's like a shudder. It's like
a trauma response. I know, response.
Especially when I'm talking about, that's like the worst. Anyways, yeah. So, but I think that like all of my personal things that I wanted to do, I was just like, this is a good opportunity for that. But I mean, my major issues with it are still kind of the same issues that I have right now, which is it's still a lot of work. You guys know this. And I still don't necessarily have full control, meaning like I can't just do something super wacko and it's not that Girl Boss is controlling it all. My goodness. Like if anything, they're almost like too hands off in a way because of the way it's structured, but it's just more of like, I know, you know, it's important to keep it to the brief.
Right. Right.
Whereas if it was my own personal thing, I could really go off and it would be okay. And I think that's like something that I kind of miss.
Yeah. So I know that you talked about it on Girl Boss, on the podcast as well, but you know, you're also bringing on a name of a company that I think you also kind of were grappling with some of the issues that came with even just the word Girl Boss. Scout is very for these types of terms like Girl Boss, Boss Babe, and kind of like the commodification of feminism in a way. I grappled with it, but I
that's a very loaded statement, and so I'm just gonna say it's a loaded statement. I'm not gonna explain, but that is a very loaded statement. Keep going.
I know that's literally what I just said. I literally just said we don't have time to go into it. But what I am trying to ask is, was there a conversation about shifting the name of the podcast, or was that even something that you grappled with? I mean, I know Sophia Moroso has talked also about what the word has erupted to. I think people need to chill the fuck out, but that's, you know, whatever. Because if people resonate with it and they resonate with a community and they want to identify as that word, then that's great. If that is empowering and inspiring you, like, who the fuck cares what other, you know, implications it has now come to manifest? I don't know. So talk to us a little bit about taking on the project itself, and just with Sophia leaving the company, like, it's just messy a little bit how was that?
So Sophia left a long time before, not a long time, but she and the entire Girl Boss crew that she built, they were gone when Attention Capital sold the company, even before that, because COVID basically, you know. So there wasn't really a transition, if you will, because like that just wasn't happening over there. They were like just hiring a bunch of people at that point. But the name has always been, that's like brought up all the time, 100%. Like it's not just, I mean, there's so many things that are going against it. So I don't think that's off the table. I think that it's just like, they haven't even gotten the right people on board to talk about the name and make a decision on it. But it's weird though, because it's like in the past few months, like, the Instagram account has grown like by 300,000 and the TikTok has grown by 100,000. Like, it's like there's still legs behind the name, but I agree. I mean, I think that it sucks because like I come from I Love Creatives and I don't have to worry about having a gender specific name, but at the same time, there's things like voicemails, there's things like Girlfriend Collective, and you can have a gender-based name, but also not necessarily do that. It's a little different also because there's other problems with the name. But I think what we've been trying to do is to explore the nuances more. Because if anything, that's like definitely not happening. We're all privately having that conversation because the people that are being so polarizing about it are the loudest right now. And I'm just not that person by any means. I am just not that person. I don't ever think that there's a truly right or wrong. There's a lot of like nuances that we can explore with this. And even whenever I see certain people who write about the word Girl Boss, I also look at them and I'm like, where did you come from? Who are you surrounded by? Why are you allowed to cancel this thing? And then you look at the comments and the people that are replying to it, and who do they look like? Where did they come from? Because they're not the same people. So I think that Hari said it the best in that last episode. I don't know if you guys listened to that one, but you know, it is kind of interesting to just be able to be in it and like sit in it and just be like in the middle of a tornado essentially and just be like, that's crazy.
I am so happy you said that, because I think that, without getting into it too much, like, first of all, I read Girl Boss when Sophia came out with it when I started my first business, and I was lost, and I found somebody who said that I could be a woman and an entrepreneur. For me, mostly it was just that I could be an entrepreneur, really, was like the thing that hit me. And then the reason I loved Girl Boss so much was because a woman was telling me that. So it just felt closer to home in so many ways. I think that if a man wrote that book, it would just be different. And so I think there, at that point in time in history, which was 8 years ago, potentially, it was so revolutionary because it allowed me to see something that was a possibility. Right. Mm. And so I've always held on to that initial feeling. I remember where I was when I read the book. I remember Sophia Moroso liked my photo when I posted it on my grid, because Instagram was super new back then. Like, I just remember feeling so empowered to do that. And so that stuck with me forever. But I love what you just said, that I think that we get swept away between a right and a wrong situation and we forget the nuances. So without going into it, this person got canceled, and I read an article about her getting canceled, and I was like, wait a minute, I actually don't think that what she said there, like, they were using something that she said to create a bigger argument that I just didn't agree with. But because it was The Cut that wrote it, I think so many people just immediately would read it as people who are sensitive and liberal and all these things, and just sign off on it very quickly. Mm-hmm. But it's so nuanced. It really, really, really is. And I think allowing room for that nuances and allowing room for people to sit in the middle of the tornado and say, oh, this is fucking crazy, right? But other before, like, instead of just being the tornado or being the person like watching the tornado, I think is so powerful, because I think we're so quick to just get on this train of this is bad and this is good without really recognizing how much goes into stuff like this. And so I just want to applaud you for, one, saying that, because I found myself in the situation where I was just believing articles that I read about other people. And then I started, and then I found one where a woman said a quote, which is something that I personally believe in. And I was like, oh shit, they're canceling someone who said something that I believe in. What's going on here? And it made me deconstruct the bigger reality and how you can't just narrow things down to something so oversimplified. So that was a tangent, but I just want to say thank you for bringing that to the forefront, because it's worth discussion. It's worth figuring it out. It's worth being in that nuanced state and just sitting in it, because I think that's how we really understand and internalize, embody, and integrate what's happening culturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There had been a lot of conversations about how deep do we use the podcast platform to like really dive into cancel culture, really dive into the word girl boss, dive into feminism, dive into all of that. Or do we use this platform to talk about people who haven't been able to have a voice? And in my opinion, I think that's more worth my time.
Amen.
Like, I'm just like, you know what? You guys have that all on Instagram on lock.
Yes.
It's fine. I don't think we need to hear about that anymore. Let me talk to Andrea, who is, you know, disabled, and we can learn a little bit more about that. I think that's a little bit more interesting.
No, that's also very, very huge, actually, presenting people with different stories versus talking about the cultural narrative around the stories. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That's very, that's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that was the big thing, was like, I want to personally make sure everybody who works on our team for the podcast side was like very adamant about, look, we're going to be the first to be called out if for anything. So might as well just do the right shit, because we know exactly what that is. Just do it. Just don't worry about the other stuff. Don't have to be so reactive. I think that's the cool thing about having a podcast, is it needs to be thought about beforehand, and you do need to like plan for it. So I'm like, oh, thank God I'm in a platform that's not so fucking reactive.
Amen.
You could just like spend, you could actually formulate your thoughts rather than, you know,
yeah,
say
when we,
your
when,
thoughts right away. Exactly.
When we did the pod, we already have our first 24 episodes already laid out. We knew exactly, we wanted this voice, we wanted this story. We wanted this voice, we wanted this story. And then we found those people and then we brought them on. I mean, sometimes there was a few that came in out of nowhere, but like, but for the most part, everything was pretty specific.
Yeah, that's really interesting because that's not what me and Mads do. I mean, we don't think of it as like, 24 episodes, what do we want to fill it with and have it be nuanced with? We just have a greater mission and belief system underneath us. And then as we're creating content, which we prefer to keep it very, very, like, I don't know if not relevant, with current, we like to keep it like super, super current because we have that little bit of like that reality to like our
sure.
lives, etc.
Yeah,
but we have an underlying value system, belief system, mission that we always check in with before we bring somebody on. We know exactly the types of women we want on, and yeah. I think that kind of tells a little bit of a bigger story in itself.
Okay, so we want to be mindful of your time, so we're going to ask you our favorite question that we ask every single OKSYS guest at the end. If you were to brag about something and you cannot be humble, what would you brag about?
About myself?
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, about yourself. What do you mean?
I think I'm a very generous person.
I love
that's
that.
That's very sweet.
Almost to a fault.
There could be a shadow side to being generous.
Yeah, you gotta yeah. have boundaries too.
When I took that acting class, my acting teacher was like, "Poo note, big note, big note," and I was like, "Oh boy, here we go," because her notes are long. Like she, it's like a therapy session, and you're like standing up there by yourself, just being like taking it. And she was like, "You're such a caretaker. Like you cannot help yourself." And to give you context, I was standing. We were doing the Meisner technique and we were like talking back and forth. And then my partner would get awkward or would fuck up or would do something. And then I would like swoop in with a joke or like figure out how to like get us out of it. And then she called me out on that and was like, "You're such a caretaker. You do not know how to let someone else let you have to fix it. You have to fix it. You can't, you're like compelled to do that." And then, so anytime that would happen, she'd be like, stop caretaking. And I was like, I didn't know that this was a problem.
Sometimes a gift is to let people struggle and learn and get themselves out of the challenge.
I'm the same way, Puno. Like, if Mads is in an uncomfortable place in her life, I am literally voice noting my coach being like, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? And then, I'm not kidding, Mads, that's happened many times this past year. And what I realized is one, and this kind of hurts, but our need to make other people feel good is not because we care about them, but it's really not because we care about them. It's because we feel unsafe if those around us are unsafe. And so it's actually this very selfish need to bring ourselves back to homeostasis and balance. And in being, when we are selfish and we can't handle feeling any type of discomfort because the one we love is our discomfort and we take it from them, we actually rob them of life experiences and becoming strong, and we actually weaken them significantly. So when I always feel the need to swoop in and save, don't laugh, this is true. When I always need to swoop in and save, I say, I'm being selfish. I'm robbing them of life experience just because I want to feel better in this moment. And the best way to help them is to co-regulate and show them, like with my energy, that I feel safe around them. And then they can inhabit a sense of safety as well. It's a big thing for me too, because I used to do it all the time and I thought I was this amazing, heroic person. And then someone said, no, you're just selfish. Like, you can't stand to be in pain. And I was like, oh fuck.
But there's a balance though.
Totally. Totally. You could totally be a generous person and have it be healthy. But
and,
like
and help
that people. Point when you're trying to fix people.
Yeah. The fixing.
The fixing's the problem.
The fixing is, I think the fixing and the allowing it to just simmer. I think that was what she wanted me, my teacher wanted me to do, was just, she's like, just simmer on it for a second. You know, don't be so reactive. Mm-hmm. Don't like, don't think that you have all the answers right away, kind of thing. And then there is, I think what she wanted to see was that awkwardness. She wanted to see how do these two people sit in uncomfortable situations? Because that's like so much more interesting and so much more entertaining. So yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that there's 100% selfishness that is involved with generosity, with giving. But then at the same time, like Maddie's saying it, you have to help people too.
God, that's like the balance. So there's a balance. Life. How do there's we balance. Do things in a healthy way?
Well, I read this book by Adam Grant called Give and Take. I talk about it all the time. But that one is a good one because it just talks about like, you know, just being uber self-aware all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the main takeaway and how. Yeah.
Gotta get that book.
We're always in pursuit of being self-aware all the time. That is tagline of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Except sometimes it. I don't think you
yeah,
self-aware.
Right. Well, because there's like self-aware that turns into self-consciousness or self-awareness that turns into, you know, being
like, self-awareness right now, Puno. I said, oh, shit, I gave that example and I projected my experience onto Puno's generosity that she was bragging about. And therefore, I just completely diminished her brag because I was talking about my own fucking experience and I shouldn't do that. And I should have prefaced it with my experience and not prescripted Puno. See, like, this is where.
What? Nah, that's a spiral right there. You got to get out of that.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think, and that's the thing. It's like, it's only in our own heads, too. It's like, no one else fucking thought that, Scout. Like,
yeah,
chill.
Oh, well, yeah, no one thought that, Scout. I was here like, that's so true.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Another chaotic episode of OK Sis. I mean, but where
nourishing.
Would we be without it?
But nourishing.
Very interesting.
It's so
very
good. Yeah. I mean, what do you guys want to see with OK Sis? Like, do you guys talk about that?
So we talk about a plethora of things, and what I think makes OK Sis so special is that me and Mads are very, very different. So I live with bipolar disorder and bring a lot of mental health and spirituality to the table. And then I'll let Mads say what she brings. But what Mads brings to me specifically is that she cracks me out of my shell and allows me to be silly. So in many ways, we can go from laughing about The Bachelor to talking about being super self-aware about our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and our emotions. And it's that fluidity where we don't have to be serious. We don't have to be a serious podcast. We don't have to be a silly podcast. We can just be what we all are, which is multidimensional and have so many different things going on. And so for me, that's the beauty, is like, one, talking to people who we admire and getting to go a little bit deeper than what we see on Instagram, et cetera, and then giving full freedom for me and Mads to be our fullest expressions, which can look like a laughing fit over the fact that I like reverse cowgirl is my favorite sex position, but Mads is convinced I've never tried it. Two, talking about how I have a prayer practice that helps me fight my psychosis in my brain, you know? So it's just, that's what I love about it. What's your goal, Mads, or whatever?
I mean, I think you summed it up. Going from reverse cowgirl to meditation,
psychosis in my
and
brain.
Some psychosis, like, it's just all, it's chaotic, it's all over the place. But I think that is what we wanted to destigmatize. I think a lot of podcasts and just in terms of content creation, I've heard so many times, time and time again, to niche down, to be niche. And to me, like, I don't know what that is for me, because I love so many things. And why can't I talk about all of them? We're all humans with so many interests. And that's why when we started OK Sis, we started the current fixation segment, because we're always fucking excited about a different thing. And that's okay. And we have on such a range of guests, and we don't limit ourselves, because I want to connect with so many different people. I don't want to just connect on just bachelor people or just mental health people or spiritual people. Why can't they all exist under one umbrella that is okay, sis? So that's my goal with it is, also,
in removing the niche for me personally as a practice, I've become a lot less judgmental of women. Like we've had such an array of women on this podcast, from YouTubers to reality TV stars to major entrepreneurs to therapists to authors to spiritual teachers, that in seeing that wide array of women, from what my lens used to be like, which is categorize this woman as this and categorize this woman as this, I've been able to see a complete spectrum of amazing humanness in its in such a rare, like, intimate form like this. And so that's been the raddest thing, in my opinion.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, thanks, Puno, for asking us that question.
Thanks, Puno, for asking. We're just like, let's just tell everyone why we started Pokesis. Okay, we have overstayed our welcome. So please let everyone know where they can find you. They can find I Love Creatives. They can find Girl Boss. All of your, what do you call yourself? Slashy. I love that. Uh-huh. That's me too.
Yeah, Puno Dos Tres. That's not, my last name is not Dos Tres.
I did think that, you know, that I realized what it was, like, I think a month ago. Like, I was like, oh, Puno Dos Tres, duh. Like, I was, I'm sure you get that all the time.
All the time. But yeah, just go there and you can, like, from there, that's where the rabbit hole will start.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was such a delight. And sisters, you can find us on Instagram at OKSIS Podcast. Love you.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell Podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell Podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.